Beautiful song. The last two songs that we sang talked about the grace of God. Y'all know what the grace of God is, right? It's God's undeserved favor. And by the grace of God, we're saved. Somebody say amen. By the grace of God, we go His way and not our way. And by the grace of God, what did we just sing about? Come on now. We sang a song to learn. By the grace of God, He will hold us fast. Amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 1. You're going to need your Bibles this morning for the Old Testament because I didn't have enough room to put all the Old Testament scriptures in your notes. So you're going to need to have your Bible in anyway. So this morning we're beginning a series on God's design, male and female, He created them. And this morning is, in order to be the people that we would have, God would have us to be, we must know the Creator, we must know His Word, and we must know Himself, ourselves. Amen? So Genesis 1, and then we'll read verses 26 and 28. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And may God richly bless the reading of His Word and your attentiveness to it. You may be seated. Well, I just want to ask you a question this morning getting started. And you're going to have to be brutally honest with yourself and all of us, okay? This is an absolute. You must raise your hand and answer this question, okay? Nobody gets to slide this morning. Okay, so y'all listening to the question. Okay, how many of you normally open up an item that comes with this statement, some assembly needed, and put it together or attempt to put it together without ever reading the instructions? That's good. I'm glad there's some being honest here. You may take your hands down. So Jeannie at her mom and dad's house, out in the kind of a second garage or whatever, a storage building, Jeannie found a 60-plus-year-old race car track set that she could remember having and her dad getting it out. He's a mechanic. He's a car guy. And he has four girls. So you know they had a race car set in the house, amen? You knew that race car set was for, right? It was for all the girls, right? So Jeannie can remember having that race car set, but she couldn't remember what happened to it. So in going through the thing, she found this 60-year-old race car set. And so she brought it home, and we carried it out to the house where we've got three grandsons and a 10-year-old granddaughter. And so, man, they opened up that box. They couldn't really understand the picture because the picture is 60 years old and it's not modern like all these pictures are. And so they put it down in the middle of the floor and started putting this racetrack set together with no instructions. And it's a pretty elaborate race car set. So we left and they had not yet got the race car track set up and the car going. But I would like to report that they do have it running now, and they're going to have to buy a couple of new cars, but they've got the race car set going. But wouldn't that have been a whole lot easier if they had the instructions? Okay, surely it would. Well, are y'all here yet this morning? Okay. Now, last Wednesday night, I challenged a group of people that were here, and I wish I had the book up here to read it, but we were talking about worship. We're talking about the Sabbath day. And we talked about how the people are obligated to prepare themselves and to make preparation for worship. Y'all remember that discussion, you Wednesday night crowd? I wonder how many made that kind of preparation for today. Okay? So, we'll continue to work on that. So, I want you to know that this is exactly what's happening in the world today. No, I want you to know that this is actually what's happening in the church today. Are y'all with me? Please be with me now. Listen to me. The creature has a set of instruction and is absolutely paying no attention to it. Only 2 or 3% of all Christians, quote, have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But yet the Creator created us and created everything else and put us in charge and said, by the way, if you're going to be in charge, you're going to need a few instructions. Now tell me what the world's doing. Tell me what the modern church is doing. It's trying to operate without the instructions. The light kind of came on to me this week. Is there any wonder that there's so much dysfunction in the world and in the church? Nobody's paying any attention to the instructions. So the first verse in the Bible, I hope you got your Bible open there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has created us, and we are created to work the best when we understand our designer and we pay attention to His Word. And out of that, we come to understand that we are creatures who need a little help. Amen? Just this week, every week, almost in jail, a 56-year-old guy by the name of Albert, I asked him the question, whose direction were you going, Albert, before you got arrested and locked up in here? You know what the answer was? My own way. And I love to get that answer in jail. And I'd ask y'all this morning, come on now, how's it working out for you going your own way? So how can we figure out God's design for us? We must know the designer. We must know His Word. Only then can we know ourselves. And you know what we're going to find out? We're going to find out, especially men, I'm going to cut you women some slack, especially men are proud, selfish, lustful, worldly, and with a propensity towards unbelief. That's what we'll find out about ourselves. Yet, and we're studying about it, great to study about it with the little guys. We have His complete and final and not missing a piece instruction. You're going to have to turn to Psalm 119, 89, and 90. Won't have to turn to it long because our toddlers are about to get this verse down. How old, Sky? Yeah, 2 years old. It's pretty obvious that she's paying attention to the little song, and it's pretty obvious that Grandma or Mom's teaching her the Bible verse because she couldn't start it, but guess what? She could finish it. A 2 year old. Now listen to me, you adults. I've been encouraging you to memorize Scripture. And how hypocritical for us to be teaching toddlers Scripture and the rest of you adults, boy, not me.
I can't memorize scripture.
You know what? All our children needs just a little encouragement. All they need is just to see mom or grandma or dad a little excited about something. Amen. Psalm 119, 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. And let me just tell you, forget about global warming. Forget about any of that. God's creation is going to abide until that moment that He no longer wants it to abide. And nobody's going to change that. And then you're in Psalm 119, 89 and 90. Look down to verse 6, 160. 160. Some people are saying, I didn't know there was 160 verses in one chapter. It'd really be good, too, for you adults to, when your preacher says, get your Bible and turn to it or go to it on your phone or your tablet, to do it. I mean, kids are watching what you're doing. 160. And I've kind of given myself a little speech all morning because I saw pretty quick this morning. I don't know if Jeannie picked it up or not, but I saw pretty quick. I'm probably not as tired as John is. I hadn't been here 5 or 6 days in a row, but I'm pretty cranky this morning. And so I've had to give my little self a pep talk all morning, not to give you guys a whooping. So somebody raise your hand and remind you, okay, you didn't come here this morning to give us a whooping, preacher. All right. So look at Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth. You know what that means? All of His word is truth. And every one of your righteous rules endures forever. God's word is complete. It's not missing a puzzle piece. So again, I want you to get the 3 points this morning. We have a designer, we have a creator, and it is our responsibility to know Him. Secondly, we must know His word. I will tell you that one of these days, regardless of how long you ignore this, you will be held accountable for what you know about His word. And the third thing, only after we know the Creator and His word can we know ourselves. It's just like Jeremiah 17:9. If people would just read the instruction book, they'd quit using this well-used statement, I'm just going to follow my heart. Y'all know, you've heard people, I'm just going to follow my heart. Okay? And Jeremiah 17:9 says, what about the heart? It is wicked and deceitful above all things. So go ahead and follow your heart. There's instructions that show us what God's Word says. So, we must know the designer. That's strong language. Amen? Look at your notes. You got this one. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that you may know the only eternal God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. We must know the designer. Leviticus 11:45, this was in this week's reading. Here's some instructions that people won't ignore. For I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be. For why? For I am holy. I could soften it up a bit. You are to be striving towards holiness and righteousness. Amen? I'm not changing it. I'm not giving you a break. He says you shall be holy. But if there's no desire to be moving towards holiness and righteousness, you're not where God wants you to be. He is the Creator and we are the creatures. That means that God is very different than us. God needs nothing. Nothing is too hard for Him. He has complete power and freedom to do whatever He wills to do. He has complete power and control over His creation. He made nothing and then just turned it loose. He is absolutely sovereign over all. He knows and does all things perfectly. I'm talking about Almighty God. And in order to know the Creator, He has given us a help, and He has told us in order to know Him, we must know the Son. Psalm 115:3 says this about the Creator. And this should have gone up a little further. I moved it and it didn't get moved in my notes. Psalms 115:3, this speaks of who God is. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. He does how much? That He pleases. But look at Colossians 2:9. So how do we get to know God? For in Him, in Christ, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. Or you might say, in Christ, God dwells among us. Are you with me, church? So how do we get to know the Father? How do we get to know the Creator? We get to know the Son. So we must know the Designer. We must know the Creator. Number two, we must know His Word. In order to know the Creator, we must embrace and know His Word. Psalm 119, 9, 11, and 15, and 16. Wasn't it good that we stayed all in Psalms 119? Psalms 119, 9, are you there in your Word? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your Word. You want your young boys to grow up and keep their purity and be sexually pure and not be involved in pornography? Teach them the Word. Verse 11, I've stored up your Word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Listen, this is talking about what Christian people will do. This is what God has called us to do. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts. Up here, please. Not just read. Not read occasionally. I will think upon what I've read. And fix my eyes, where? On your way, O God. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Y'all ready for verse 2? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We're learning a little song about reading God's Word and praying every day. We're not reading God's Word once a week. We're not reading God's every other day or two. We're reading God's Word every day. That's what we're teaching the toddlers. So in order to know how we are created, listen, and what we were created for, we must know our Creator and His instruction manual. And I will tell you, He didn't leave it to chance. His instructions are pretty detailed. So, has the light come on yet this morning for you? Do you not see why the world is spinning out of control? I've given it to you already, but only 2-3% of all Christians have ever read all the instructions. The creature does not know the Creator. Come on now, church, listen to me. And has no interest in the instruction manual. Luke 11:28 says, But he said, blessed rather those who hear the word of God. Well, there's a step further than reading the word of God, knowing the word of God. Well, we're supposed to keep it. So what's the solution? Turn to Proverbs 22:13. Y'all gonna have to pray for me real hard here now, okay, guys? Especially you guys. Because I might get a little testy right here. Proverbs 22:13. It's not in your notes. It's in your Bible. Proverbs 22:13. Are you there? All right. So you've got it in ESV. I've got it memorized in NIV. So the sluggard says there's a lion outside. I can't go out there. There's a lion out there. He might eat me up. The sluggard says there's a lion outside, or I might be eaten in the streets. So you know what he says? He says it's too dangerous out there. Listen to me. Men, you can't be lazy and a sluggard and learn God's word. I mean, it's not a book that you put under your pillow, or better than this, it's not a book you put on your dashboard when you leave here on Sunday morning, and all the time you're driving this week, you're getting out of it, no? It's a word, it's a book that you got to dig in, you got to read, you got to read over, and you got to meditate upon. Now, listen to me. A lazy man is not going to be a man of the word. Just think about this. You get to the day of judgment. I don't know which. Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad to get the day of judgment and find out you weren't saved. That's going to be really bad. But it's going to be really embarrassing to get the day of judgment if you can do it. And he says, why don't you read my word? I gave you work to do. Why didn't you do it? Think you're going to slide? Think you're going to get a pass? We must get to know His book, the Bible. And when we do, we will know Him. And the better we know Him, the more we'll love Him and His Son, Jesus. The reason we don't love Him like we ought to is because we don't know Him, we don't know the Son, and we don't know ourselves. God sent His Son, Jesus. God come in the flesh to dwell among us. Why? That we might get a glimpse of the Creator. When we put our trust in Jesus and get to know Him, we begin to get to know God. When we fall in love with Him, we will love His Word. Did y'all hear me? When you fall in love with Jesus, when you fall in love and find out who Almighty God is and what He's done, we will love His Word. And we will embrace His Word. And we will begin to see the design He has for our life. James 1:18, without a doubt, teaches that we are begotten, we are born again by the Word of God. Maybe it wasn't the Word of God that you read, but it was the Word of God that your grandma or your mama or somebody else read. And when God got ready, He quickened you by the Word of God. And then John 8:31 says, if you were quickened by the Word of God, you will continue in or abide in the Word of God. There is a problem. Houston, if you call yourself a Christian and have no interest in this Word, And I'm not talking about a Sunday morning interest when your preacher has to badger you to turn your iPad on or to turn your phone on or to open the Bible up. That's not the kind of interest I'm talking about. I'm talking about you delight in the Word of God. There is no understanding of who we are and our lives without knowing God. We will become only more confused and more frustrated without knowing Him. Colossians 2:3 says, In Christ, in whom Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God has made us to know Him and His good design for our lives. John 17:3 again. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. We are to know God. And I want to tell you, that know there is knowing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We'd probably all be blown away at the number of men I've seen in two county jails in the last 25 years. I mean, I saw them with my eyes. I spent a few minutes or maybe an hour with them. But when I get to heaven and they're there, I won't recognize them, because I didn't really get to know them. But I've been married to a woman for 49 years. I know her. I know her in a way that I'll never know another person. Are y'all listening? I'm kind of thinking that's the way we got to know God. It's the same word, the same know. I mean, this is not a haphazard. I think I know Him. I think I'll recognize Him. I think He'll recognize me. Wow, what kind of language to use for the day of judgment? I hope. I think. I might. No. I am dedicated to know Him. And I am dedicated that He will know me. Because I'm going to make sure I find out where He's at and I spend time in His presence. Amen. Now, I want you to begin to put all this together. You've got Romans 12, 1 and 2. So this is what's expected of a person who would know Almighty God and the Son Jesus Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Here's what God's saying through Paul. Give your whole body, your whole self to Almighty God. Here it is, Lord. I am dedicated, devoted to you. Take my life, do with it what you want. Okay, he says in the last part of verse 1, this is spiritual worship. This is what a guy ought to do. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Now somebody tell me, if this book is not conforming you to the ways of God, if this is not your instruction manual, what is conforming you? The only antidote, the only, antivenom when you get a snake bite. This is the only antidote to the world. If this is not conforming you, I promise you, the world is. So it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, God's word, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, I've got it memorized in the NIV, I think, and it says, then you'll know what God's perfect will is for your life and how good that will be for you. Only when we give ourselves to Him, and only when we get in the Word of God, and only when we begin to try to meditate and learn what God's Word says, will we know what life ought to look like. He reveals it to us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a memory verse of the second year of Genesis. Answers in Genesis. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. So we don't lean on our own knowledge, we lean on His. So we've looked at knowing the Creator. We've looked at knowing His Word. And now let's look for just a moment about only then can we know ourselves. He says this strange thing. We are made in the image of God. 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Okay? So, God's holy. One thing that we should be is holy also. That's what He would expect out of us. So we began to know God more and more. And then we see ourselves more clearly. We're creatures. And we're not holy. Amen? And so, why do we have the law? Why do we have the Word of God? Why do we find out that we're sinners? Because we'll find out if we're sinners that we need a sacrifice. We need a Savior. Listen, if God's Word, if God's Spirit never brings you to the place that you realize that you're a sinner and that all sinners deserve death, hell, and eternal judgment, you'll never have a need for a Savior. So we need to know that we're sinners. You remember when we talked about who God was? Well, listen, the creature, we need food. We need shelter. We need sleep. We need other people. God needs none of that. We can only be at one place at one time. We don't get to decide many things about our own lives, do we? Listen, you didn't get to pick your parents. You didn't get to pick where you were going to be born into the world. You didn't get to pick the circumstances you'd be born into. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Yeah, I want you to turn there. Jeremiah 13:23. It's right after Isaiah. Isaiah 13:23. This is one of my favorites, and it really speaks to us today and speaks to us in America today. Jeremiah 13:23. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. The NIV says, can a man change his skin color? Can a leopard change his spot and still live? And it says it where you can really understand it. It says, neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So the only way a guy goes from doing bad to doing good is by the grace of God. Y'all hear me? Any other way is going to lead to failure, disappointment. Listen to me, y'all look at me. Man, you know, it's always, always when you're preaching, you're always thinking about young people. And just kind of flashed through my mind that some people that needed to hear this, but maybe they'll listen to it. Have you come to realize yet that there are things in your life that you cannot change? Your family, your nationality, your hair color. Well, maybe that's not too good of an example. Well, I'll say this, the hair color you were born with, eye color, how tall you are, or there's going to be some people hear this on sermon audio, it's going to blow them away. You can't change your sex. Let me say that again. You cannot change your sex. you were born male or female, He created them. And you Christians, do not be ashamed to stand boldly up and tell somebody and turn to Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28 and read to them, you are created male or female. And however you are made physically, however your anatomy is, that's what you are. Listen, no person can change or should want to change the way God made them. I ought to be satisfied at being 5'7½" or 5'8". If I got plenty of shoes on. Amen? How foolish it would be for a leopard not to want to have spots. God, hey, you know what that leopard knows that people don't know? Hey, God must have given me these spots for a reason. For a man to want to change his skin color. How'd that work out for Michael? A person to change their sex? Can you not look at Bruce Jenner? I'm not even going to say what he goes by now. Can you not look at that and say in your own mind, that guy is miserable? Well, that's what happens when you begin to mess with God's plan. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Psalms 139, 14. Young people, listen to me. Read this back to Him. Pray this out loud to Him. I praise You, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. Hey, if your kids won't read it to themselves, you read it out loud to them. Claim the Word of God. Listen, we have no business grumbling or complaining about how God made us. Romans 9, 20 through 21, you've got it there. Because this is what God would say to every one of us if we began to question everything He had done about us. Where He put us, what we look like, or whatever the case may be. Here's what He would say. But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Well, what is molded? Say to his molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? Y'all know any potters or potteresses? I know one, whatever you call a female person that makes pots. She lives in Langley, Arkansas. She operates out of the old gymnasium in Langley, Arkansas. And she's got the clay and she's got the wheel and she's got the oven and she can do all that stuff. She ships this stuff all over the world, right? Well, you know, if you went up there and she took a pot out and it was a beautiful pot and, you know, you thought it was beautiful. And all of a sudden she throws it over into the corner in the scrap pile. And you said, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And she'd say, well, it had some little imperfection you couldn't see. What gave her the right to discard that pot? She made it. And listen to me. What can God do with what He's made? Whatever He wants to do. Why? Because He made it. And we say, whoop. I don't agree with that. And somebody, or the voice of God would say, who are you, old man, to question what I do? You know what? We show ourselves to be foolish and prideful when we complain about what God's done. Don't we? You remember Nebuchadnezzar? Only by reading about Nebuchadnezzar did I figure out how tall the brazen serpent was out in the wilderness. It's probably a stretch, but Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself 90 foot tall. So I figured that bronze serpent that God told Moses to build and put on a pole, I figured for 2.4 million people to see it, it probably had to be 90 feet tall and held up on a real tall pole. That's supposing. But you remember him? For a period of his life, he forgot who was in charge of his life. Come on now. Listen to me, young people. The less amount of time that you can go thinking that you are in control of your life, the better. You don't want to be in control of your life. Amen? You want him to be. He boasted of who he was and he built a 90-foot tall statue of himself. He bragged about a great city that he had built. And God turned him out to pasture, to go around on his hands and his knees and grow his fingernails and his hair out and eat grass like a cow. I don't think God would expend that kind of time on most of us. He'd just take us out of here. We don't pay much attention to him, but he did it to Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to hear what he said after a period of seven. Lots of people think a period of 7 years in that state. Listen to what it says in Daniel 4, 34 and 35. That's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel. That's where Daniel's at. Daniel 4, 35. It's a good scripture. This is what we ought to say at the end of every day. Huh? This is what we ought to say every morning when we get up. Amen? At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored Him who lives forever, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Okay, so, what ought we do? We ought to, in our right mind, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind, but when his mind and his senses came back to him, this is how he responded. Look at verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as what? Nothing. And look at God. And He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none, no. Verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? We are made in His image, but we are not little gods. Amen. We are not the Creator. We are created after the likeness of God. We have the capabilities of understanding the concept of being holy and righteous. We have been given dominion over. We have been made either male or female. And you know why He made us male and female? You know why this other way won't work out? Because He made you male and female to repopulate the earth. Only way it'll work. So what's the problem? Proverbs 14:12. Turn there, please. We're just about finished. Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to who? But in the end, it leads to what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's a good word. So here's what he says in Romans 1, verses 21 through 25 to people like, people that don't have any desire to know the Creator, have no desire to know God's Word. I hope that doesn't describe any of you this morning. People who have no desire to know the Creator and no interest in His Word. I hope that doesn't define any of you. But this is what he says about people who do that. Romans 1, 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Then this surely is not the place we want to go. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we have no desire to know the Creator and no desire to know His Word, that's a real likelihood of where we're going to go. Because back in Romans again in verse 12, if the Bible's not conforming us, what is conforming us? And the world is going to convince us that all of this is foolishness, it's not true, whatever the case may be. And that's the road we could go down. So in closing, it's on the back page of your notes. So what happens when we don't know the Creator and we don't know His Word, have no interest in His Word, and we don't know ourselves? We end up confused and frustrated. We do not know God. We do not know His Word. We don't have any clue that there's 31,000 promises in God's Word. We do not know ourselves and what we're going to get into in the weeks to come. We don't know ourselves or our roles. God has a design. God is the designer of His creation. Listen to me, men and women. Particularly men, God created us for the purpose of having dominion over His creation. Do you know what a massive assignment He has given us? All that He made, and He said, here, I'm making you boss over, control over, dominion of My creation. Oh, it could be a difficult job, and you might need a little help along the way. And He gave us His Word. And here's the deal. I thought about all of those accounts in the parables. When He gave different people a different amount of money or a different amount of talents or whatever the case may be. In every one of those cases, one day, what happened? He came back for an accounting. You think He's not going to operate that way anymore? So here's your assignment. I want you to sit down this afternoon. And ladies here, you have no problem with this. So you sit down, and the men's conference was a month ago, so you're probably going to have to give them most of the afternoon to even remember what the men's conference was about, okay? And then if they can happen to remember what it's about, and if they don't, you remind them what it's about. It's the same one yours is about. And I want you to ask them, I know you made a commitment to do one thing in becoming a godly man. What was that? And how can I support you in doing that? So the first response is for the man to commit to whatever he said he would do after the men's conference to become a godly man. And then, men, I want you to really stretch yourself out, and I want you to get you a chair, and I want you to pull it up right next to your wife where you can kind of go knee to knee, and I want you to look her in the eye and say, "Sweetheart, tell me about the women's conference. I want to hear about it." it's probably almost funny, isn't it? I'm serious. Your wife needs somebody to share this with. And it's you. And say, how can I support you in doing that? All right, now listen. Now, from last Wednesday night, we're studying about worship. And one thing we studied about is making plans to set aside all of the Lord's day for the Lord and to use that day to rest and to catch up with the Lord. Okay? Now, the Spanish-speaking meeting at 3:30. And I'll be there with them, by the way, because I've got to finish up teaching them on worship. So you've got all afternoon to rest, to think about the men's conference, to think about the women's conference, to talk to each other. So that's your assignment this afternoon. And then the bottom of that assignment is to begin to think about how you can purpose. Y'all with me? How you can purpose. Dwayne's been using that word. We've been using that word about giving. Giving should be purposeful, cheerful, and generous. Purposeful. You made up your mind you're going to do it. That you're going to purpose. You're going to purpose to dedicate the Lord's day to the Lord. And that would be 6 p.m. on Saturday to 6 p.m. on Sunday. If you wanted to be legalistic about it. Because what if we started thinking about it on 6 p.m. on Saturday and began to get ready for the next day? And to pray for the preacher and to pray for Russ and to pray for their Tom. Okay? To pray for Bob and Nell and to pray for Jeannie. They've got your kids. Okay? So, there's some things we can do, and I want to give you time to do that. You guys have been very gracious today. And so that's the first. God's the creator, and he made us male and female. That's the way he created us. He created us to know that there's a creator. He gave us instruction. It's the word of God. And when we know him and know that instruction, we'll know ourselves and we'll have a greater understanding of how difficult it is, how impossible it is without the grace of God to be the person he'd have us to be.